victor, conqueror, victorious one. But I was thinking, if I had another name, you know what it would, you know, I wish what it be. Do you know what I wish it would be? Do you care? I would like to be called Lover of God. Lover of God. Wouldn't it be a great name? Lover of God. So we could think of a way to put that into a name like Jim, you know, or whatever. That would be a good name. Lover of God. I just love him. Log. Thanks for your help, Mr. Legal Wizard. I can handle that. That's good. Open your Bibles to John chapter 8, if you'd like to follow along with me this morning. I'd like to bring something today about the nature and the person of the Lord Jesus. It was one of the things, or I guess I should say the thing, that got him in so much trouble with the religious leaders of his day. And basically, I just want to do a Bible study today on a particular subject. John chapter 8, and reading one verse here, which is the 12th. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the light of the world. It's interesting that of all the four Gospels, John is the one who takes special note of all of the occasions where Jesus said, I am something. There are in the Gospel of John and also in the Revelation of John at least 15 different occasions where he spoke this way, like the one we just read, I am the light of the world. Now, he doesn't say, I'm like the light of the world. He said, I am the light. And it's very similar to what we were talking about at the beginning of the service this morning when we were sharing from Proverbs 18:10, where the Word of God says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. It's not like a strong tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. In this particular case, it is precisely the same. Jesus did not say, I am like the light of the world. He said, I am the light of the world. In other words, if there's no me, there's no light. There's no illumination. I'm it. I am the light of the world. In other places, he said, I'll give you the references. We're not going to look these all up in the interest of time this morning. There are 15 of them that I know of. There may be others that I've missed, but I'm going to give you these 15. I'll give you the references. You can jot them down if you want. In John 4:26, he says to the woman at the well, I am the Messiah. He said, I'm he. I'm the one that we've been talking about here. I am the Messiah. I'm not like the Messiah. It's not a similarity that we're dealing with. I am. The Messiah. I am the anointed one. That's what the word Messiah means. I am the unctioned one, the anointed one. I am the one that is given by God, filled with His Spirit, to perform the work of this messianic expectation. I am the Messiah. In John 6:35, he calls himself the bread of life. He says, I am the bread of life. In John 6:51, he says, I am the living bread. I'm not like the bread of life. I'm not like the living bread. I am the bread of life. In John 8:23, he says, I am from above. In John 8:58, he says, I am the eternal one. Now you begin to understand why the Jews of his day, particularly the religious Jews, the ones who have been doctrinalized and theologized, were having trouble with him. And why they had difficulty receiving him as he is making these declarations. Then he declared, as we just read, I am the light of the world, John 9:5, as well as the 12th verse of the 8th chapter. In John 10:7, he says, I am the door of the sheep. I'm not like the door, I am the door. And if anybody wants to enter into the sheepfold, that is into a place of security, into the house of God, he's got to come through me because I am the door. In John 10:36, he says, I am the Son of God. I'm not one of the sons of God. I am the Son of God. That is the only begotten Son of God. We are sons and daughters of God by adoption. He was the Son of God by natural force. Only begotten. I am the Son of God. In John 11:25, he told the sisters of Lazarus, I am the resurrection and I am the life. If you want resurrection, you get it in me. If you want the life, you get it in me because I am the resurrection. I am, hallelujah, I am the life. We ought to be shouting right about here. In John 13:13, he says, I am the Lord and Master. I'm the King. I'm the ruler. I am the Lord and Master. I'm the numero uno. In John 14:6, he says, I am the way. I am the truth. And again, he says, I am the life. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. In John 15:1, he says, I'm the true vine. That's the passage where he described his Father God as the husbandman and us as the branches, and he refers to himself as the true vine. In John 10:11, he says, I am the good shepherd. I look after the sheep. I'm not a hireling. I don't come and go. I'm the good shepherd. I'm faithful. In Revelation 1:8, he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. In other words, I'm the beginning and I'm the end. I'm not at the beginning and I'm not at the end. I am the beginning and I am the end. In Revelation 1:17, he expands on that when he says, I am the first and the last. The Alpha is the first letter in the Greek alphabet, and the Omega is the last letter in the Greek alphabet. And so what he has said here, I am the A, and I'm the Z, and I'm everything in between. And here he confirms it in Revelation 1:17, I am the first. And I am the last. Now with all of these I ams, I'm the light of the world, I'm the true vine, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, I am the resurrection, I'm the living bread, I'm the bread of life, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, I'm the Son of God, I'm the Messiah, I am the Eternal One, I am from above. The most important I am he ever uttered was not about something he was. It was not I am something, but just simply I am. In John chapter 8, This passage, I think I do want to read specifically. John chapter 8 and verse 24. There will be three verses here actually in John chapter 8. So if you find this chapter, it will not be difficult for you to pick up all three of them. But I want you to see this, particularly if you have a King James Bible, this will be very apparent. In 8:24, these words, Jesus speaking, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins," talking here to the Jewish religious leaders. "For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." And this is verse 23, as he says, "I'm from above." In verse 24, he says, if you don't believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Now, in your King James Bible, you see the word he is written a little differently, isn't it? It's italicized, which means that the pronoun he is not in the original language. It was added by the translators to aid in the reading, so it would read more naturally. But what Jesus actually said here is, if you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins. And I want you to remember that, because that's very important for where we're going. Verse 28, drop down to that. "Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he." Same idea here. You notice the third person pronoun is italicized. And so what Jesus actually said is, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am. And if you will go over to the 58th verse of chapter 8, and this is probably one of the most famous of the I ams of Jesus. Let's start at verse 56. "Your father Abraham," Jesus said, "rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Not I am something, just I am. Now the reason this is significant, and the reason that verse 59 records, "Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself, went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." Why is it that his saying I am would cause them to be so incensed and would get them so angry that they were willing to kill him? And when you took up a stone in Jewish culture, when you took up stones to cast at him, this idea is not we want to hurt him. We want to kill him, because that was a Jewish means of execution, was stoning. You'll remember that we read a couple of weeks ago when we were looking at the circumstances surrounding Stephen's death, that he died under a stoning. Moses' law provided that as the means of execution when capital punishment was used in Jewish culture. You did not take your criminal and take him to a private place where nobody could watch and have some unidentified person pull a switch. In Jewish culture, when you executed the death penalty, which they frequently did, when you executed the death penalty, the people were involved in doing so. And the reason for that, in other words, everybody involved was to actually pick up a stone and participate in that execution. Now you can imagine the lesson that would offer. I mean, if you had been to some of those, you would recognize, if you had seen this occur, it would certainly be a deterrent, don't you think, to any kind of a capital offense. And so when they take up the stones here to cast at him, they're not just mad at him, they want to kill him. Now why is that the case? Let's go back for some history to the book of Exodus, and I know many of you know where we're going here, but it will be profitable for us to go once again to Exodus chapter 3, which is the story of Moses and God at the burning bush. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 11. And Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And he said, "Certainly I will be with you, with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain." And Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, 'The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you,' and they shall say to me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say unto them?" And God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, 'I am hath sent me unto you.'" And God said moreover unto Moses, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, 'The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations.'" What is his name? What did he call himself? I am. Now, this Jewish phrase, I am, is very close to the Jewish word Jehovah or Yahweh, and that's where that comes from. It's a derivative of this word that is translated I am. And if you look that up in a Hebrew dictionary, the word I am means simply to be. Not to be or not to be, as Shakespeare wrote, but to be. It means to exist. And what God is actually saying here when he gives Moses his name, I am that I am, he's just simply saying, I am he that is. And what he's inferring is his timelessness, his the fact that he is from the beginning and from the end. He is the beginning and the end. He is everything. And there isn't anything that is that he isn't. I exist. That's my name. I am. And so when Jesus uses that name, he makes himself equal with God. And when he does it, he knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's saying when he says to these Jews, "Before Abraham was, I am." If you knew who I am, since you do not acknowledge me as I am, you're still in your sins. Every time he uses that term, he is declaring himself to be God. I am he that is. If you knew Abraham, you'd know me. If you knew my father, you'd know me, because I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was born, he was born in time. I wasn't. I am preexistent, and I will be at the end as well. In me there is no beginning, there is no end, because I am the beginning. I am the end. I am he who exists. Now, turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 18, I'm sorry. And I want to show you something here that about the I am part, his declaring himself to be the I am. This is just simply another way of him saying, I am Jehovah. I am God Almighty. I am he who was with Moses at the burning bush. And if you're a Jewish religious scholar, you can understand, I guess, why it is that they were so angry at him and why they wanted to destroy him. In the 18th chapter of John, beginning to read in verse 1, this is the night in which Jesus was arrested. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, What? I am. So he didn't say, I am he. He didn't say, I'm the one you're looking for. He didn't say, I'm the man. He just said, I am. Notice the he again is italicized. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. Now, what's happening here is these soldiers are slain in the spirit. And there's a power loosed when Jesus simply says the words, I am, when he declares who he is. The power is loosed in such a way that these men, notice that there were no weapons used, there was no physical power at all utilized here. He said, I am, and when he said, I am, the power fell upon those soldiers. They fell backwards, and they were like dead men. Now, they weren't dead. They fell to the ground. We call it slain in the spirit. But here's a biblical example of that happening. When the power of God comes upon a person, it is so strong that it knocks them to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake of them which thou gavest, of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. So it is clear, is it not, as to who Jesus thought he was. Jesus understood that he was God Almighty in the flesh. And one of the things that, in fact, turn to 1 John chapter 4 with me just a moment, and I think we'll probably conclude there. 1 John chapter 4. And the first three verses. I've shared this with you before, but it bears repeating. One of the things that Christians need to be able to do, every Christian, needs to be able to demonstrate that Jesus is not just a man sent from God. He is God sent in the form of a man. And the key doctrine, the single most essential part of Christian Orthodox doctrine is this central fact. Jesus is God. You have a lot of religious people who, and some sitting in our churches, and all of the cults, in fact, that deny that. If you find a person who understands and who is willing to confess that Jesus Christ is God, then you have found somebody who's a part of the family of God. If you find somebody who will not confess that Jesus Christ is God, no matter what else he or she may say, they are not part of the family of God. They are not part of the Christian community. They are not born-again people, regardless of what they may call themselves, Presbyterian, Baptist, Charismatic, Pentecostal, Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, Children of God, whatever it is, whatever label they may carry, the way you identify them is, who do you believe Jesus is? And the key doctrine is Jesus is God. Everybody say that with me. Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Don't ever forget that. Chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. You don't believe every book you buy in the Christian bookstore just because you bought it in the Christian bookstore. You don't believe every so-called truth that is preached from a Christian pulpit. You don't believe everything that you hear on Christian radio or Christian television. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits or test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Okay, here is how you know what is coming from the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth, now the word that, every spirit that confesseth Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. In other words, what John is saying is that every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. You see that? Every spirit, verse 3, that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh or God come in the flesh is not of God. Regardless of whatever else they may say. Oh yes, I believe he's the Son of God. Yes, I believe that his blood paid the price for our sins. Yes, I believe that he's done a redemptive work. Now see, that's the Jehovah's Witness doctrine. And if you pick up Jehovah's Witness material and read it or hear them teach it, you say, well, they're just like us. Don't you believe it? They're not. And if you want to find out, you ask them, well, who do you believe Jesus is? And we need to be able to defend the fact from Scripture that Jesus is who he claims to be. He's God. And one of the ways that we do that is through the I Ams. And that's why I bring you that message this morning. When Jesus said, I am, he is either the biggest fraud that ever lived, or he's God Almighty in the flesh. And we know he's God Almighty in the flesh because of the works that testify to who he is. We're studying this in our Bible study on Sunday morning now about his works and how it validates or testifies to his declarations. And I've got to tell you that if Jesus was not declaring himself to be God, if he was declaring himself to be something less than God himself, he never would have had to go to the cross. Because it was that declaration that sent him there when he said he was equal with God. If you look at the sixth chapter of the book of John, John chapter 6, if you want to see this for yourself, John chapter 6 and verse, let's see, I believe it's John chapter 6, isn't that right? No, that's not it. It's John 5, I'm sorry. John 5 and verse 18. Verse 17, Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And when he did that, when they understood that he was declaring himself to be God, they felt they were justified in sentencing him to death. Well, let's stand together. And keep your Bibles open, though, and open them to... This came up this morning, and it's come back to me two or three times today. Open your Bibles to Psalm 113. Psalm 113. You are God. You are God Almighty. You are God. You are God. I think I'll write a song. Psalm 113, verse 1. Verse 3, 1 and 2. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Praise ye the Lord. Praise Him, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. We haven't sung that in a while, have we? Teresa was reminding us the other night that a lot of these good scripture songs, we haven't sung them in a while, and we need to. I think I'm going to start working them back into our music some way along the line. Well, I'm ready to dismiss the service. Anybody have anything before we go? Anything you want to offer? All right. Well, Lord, send us out of here with a fresh awareness of the person of the Lord Jesus, who He is, and what that means to us. He not only represents God to us, He is God to us. And when we receive Him, we receive all that God is. And how grateful we are, Lord, that You were willing to humble Yourself, to take the form of a man and come and live among us and reveal Yourself to us through a person just like us. We celebrate Jesus, rejoice in Jesus, and worship Him this day. In Your mighty name, Jesus. And everybody said, Amen.